like. Call his wife and hey! 404! How's your boy been? How we doing on this Friday morning? We made it! It was a tough week, but we made it. And last night was a doozy. Last night was rough for everyone. Everyone in the country had a rough night last night. And no worse than Yankee fans, as Carlos Rodon gets absolutely pounded, continues the Yankees losing ways as they get pounded by the last place. The last place, Toronto Blue Jays. This is not about not beating good teams anymore. It never was, but it certainly isn't now. It's not about how they match up with the Dodgers or how they match up with even the Orioles at the moment. This is about the Yankees and the way they play and the way things are going for them. And right now, everything that once was good is now miserable. As the starting rotation that had the best ERA in baseball for the first 2 months has fallen on its face, really since Cole came back, which is just an ironic, ridiculous thing, but it pisses me off. As Carlos Rodon gets absolutely blitzed again, 8 runs in the first 2 innings. And yes, as you heard in the clip, that's probably going to piss a lot of people off. As you heard Aaron Boone tell you, yeah, he settled in from there. He did. And then even better than that, he didn't want out of the game in the fifth. He talked Boone into keeping him out there, and he finished that fifth inning and saved the bullpen 2 outs. Woohoo! Man, what fight from Carlos Rodon, and that's the problem. Because if you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic. And as much as I suppose I appreciate it, because even the broadcast said, not even just Boone, who we all know is an apologist for his teammate, his team, but we understand that. But even the broadcast was giving him credit. He could have easily just slunked off the mound. Instead, he fought the fight. Okay. He was terrible. And you know what pisses me off more than anything? Because a lot of the storylines kind of coming out of this game are, well, it's fastball location. Oh, well, you know, the fastball is being guessed, and they sold out for the fastball, and the fastball, and the fastball, and the fastball. The fastball is not the problem. All right? It's the microcosm of the problem. And I'm not worried so much about his fastball. He'll locate it better. Right? He'll mix his pitch mix will get better, and maybe, you know, other teams are, as Boone also said in that clip, you know, figuring out how to pitch not only him, but the rest of the staff. Maybe a little too similar, maybe a little bit too familiar in the way they go about attacking hitters, and maybe the word is out on how the Yankees like to get you out. A lot of fastballs, a lot of, you know, early in the count, high riding fastballs. But whatever the case may be, Carlos Rodon's got things to work on, but the one thing that he absolutely has to change, and that I'm extremely fearful and almost confident won't change, is his inability to deal with any sort of dysfunction, any sort of issue, any sort of adversity. And you saw it coming in the first inning of that game last night. If you weren't lucky enough to watch the first inning of this Yankee game, if you were focused on other things, if you were flipping back between CNN and Fox News to get kind of the feel of the both sides of it, heading into the historic debate last night. If you missed the first inning, you saw a doozy, because let's be fair to him for a moment. He had a lot of bad luck in that inning. There's no way around it. That's a fact. It is. He got a lot of bad luck. He gets a hard hit ground ball from Bichette that could have been played by Volpe. I'm not going to get on him for it, but in other days when the Yankees are going well, Volpe makes that play. Instead, it's a base hit off his glove into the outfield. Then he hits with a backdoor, you know, a back foot slider, hits IKF on a 2-strike count. Then Vladimir Guerrero, who's the talk of a lot of trade speculation, which, you know, I mentioned 2 weeks ago. Let me just throw that out there. If I don't say it, nobody will. So Vlad gets jammed and bloops one into right field for a double. And then one of the weirder plays you'll see, as Turner squibs one down the first baseline, Ben Rice, the first baseman, just lets it roll and roll and roll and roll until it hits first base. Everybody's safe. Carlos Rodon's pissed. You could tell he's pissed off at Ben Rice. The next play on a 3-1 out, He tosses the ball back to Ben Rice, pissed off, and you knew it right then and there. The second that ball hit the bag, the second he was stuck with a bunch of bad luck, he was going to get bombed. The game was over because he cannot, he does not know how to pitch through adversity. He is not, he doesn't have the slightest bit of Andy Pettit in him to make a pitch, get a ground ball, get a double play, get out of a jam, nothing. He is brutally bad. Whether it was all of last year with the injury and coming back and struggling and blowing the kiss to the fan and everything he dealt with and the inability to get his season going, or whether it's been these last three starts or the first inning of this game, he stinks when he has to be good. He stinks the minute things go wrong. And that's pretty damning for a guy who makes $160 million. And that's pretty unfortunate for the New York Yankees if it's a guy you pay that kind of money to and expect to make playoff games, playoff starts, because you know what? Stuff happens. And you got to be able to limit it to two runs there. You got to be able to make a pitch. You got to be able not to blow the game up in the first two innings. And Carlos Rodon seems to be a guy who can make it work when everything's going well and the Yankees are winning and he's pitching okay. But the second things turn, the second he's needed in a game against the lowly Blue Jays, coming off two bad starts, trying to end a four-game losing streak, when they need him, he's not there. That's my problem. And we saw the last start. He's an emotional roller coaster, man. After the first inning and giving up some runs, he's yelling at people in the dugout. Then he gets taken out of the game. Gleyber Torres, of all people, the other moper, has to put his arm around him to console him as he's getting emotional and tearing up in the dugout. And then after the game, he talks like his dog just died. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen. That's a lot of emotions. He ran the gamut in one start. It's too much, and the moping and the body language and the showing up his defense, all of it speaks to one undeniable fact that Carlos Rodon right now cannot be trusted. You're going to throw him out there every fifth day, and I think he'll figure out his fastball because his stuff is pretty good, and he'll probably get his pitch mix going, and at some point, in the hope to be near future, the Yankees might actually win a game or two and things might revert back to at least being similar to the way it was at the start of the year. But that won't change my mind. Come the big moments, it's hard to trust Carlos Rodon right now. And the fact that he makes the money he makes and he's important to the team in the way he is, as we went into the season saying, hey, as Carlos Rodon goes, so do the Yankees. That was going to be one of the linchpin players where, let's look at his season. If his season's good, the Yankees should be pretty good. If it's bad, it's up in the air. And he had an ERA under 3 before these three starts. And now it's right around 5. And unfortunately for the Yankees, he is important. And unfortunately for the Yankees, as goes Rodon, so go the Yankees. And they have mirrored his success and failures. And now for Stroman, it's a big start tonight. Someone needs to step up, give them a good start, because we can complain about the offense all we want, and I will. The offense is putrid after Judge, no doubt. It's hard to get anything going when you're down 8-0 after 2. It's hard to get anything going when your starting pitching is getting shellacked the way it's gotten shellacked almost every time through over the last two rotations. Someone needs to step up, give this team a well-pitched game, get a victory, and figure out a way to beat the lousy Blue Jays and just start to feel better about themselves. Because right now, you got mopers all over the place. You got Yankees with the tail tucked between their legs. And if you want to get on Boone for something, you want to get on Boone for him, you know, sort of sugarcoating it, in his words, what Carlos Rodon did last night? Yeah, I don't like that, and I have a problem with it. It's not the problem. The problem is when things go bad, he can't figure out a way to get his team out of these mental funks where they walk around sad with their head down. You saw that clip of Gleyber yesterday just staring off into space looking like he's absolutely miserable and wanted to be anywhere else but there. That's a major problem for this team. And it's a major problem for people who want to succeed in New York. And it's a major problem for people who want to succeed in New York with massive contracts attached to them and expectations of being the second ace of this staff, which he has not come close to being. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. E. Frank in Astoria. What's up, E. Frank?
Yes, what's up? C-Mac.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, what is the best way to work the Yankee rotation? Is it leave it like it is now or improve it? I mean, what can we do now? Because the Yankees seem to start losing games now, and we are wondering what is going to be the issue in the next few weeks.
There's nothing to do. I don't even think I would be surprised if the starting rotation is even something they look to improve at the deadline. I think this is the starting rotation. They've gotten Cole back. You could see eventually Clark Schmidt come back. They've been excellent this whole year except the last 2 weeks. I just don't see the Yankees going out there when they need corner infielders. They need relievers. They might even need two bats, two relievers. Like I just don't see them focusing on the starting rotation when it's been overall really good for them. And it's only just been a couple of starts here, and they're getting, and one of those bad starts was Gerrit Cole, who you fully expect to get, you know, his season underway here. So I don't think there's anything to do with the rotation, E. Frank. I really don't. I think this is it. Liam in Blue Point. What's up, Liam?
Hey, Chris, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, Liam. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just got off work, coming home now. So
there you go.
But yeah, at work, watching the Yankee game was brutal.
Yeah, not fun.
And I can't stand. I agree everything about the whole moping. I can't stand it. Right? You saw it all day with Rondon. The whole time he was in, he stares
off into space with his mouth like slightly ajar. It's just, you know, the arms go in the air when the ball left Springer's bat, which I guess I understand. But and you can't get on Ben Rice. Like you have
he's a rookie. He's a young guy. How are you going to get all angry and upset with him? That
well, because he let a ball roll to first base and he can't control his emotions. That's it. Like
he's being a big old baby to me, Chris.
I agree.
And I'm kind of tired of it.
I agree. I don't disagree. That's exactly the issue, and it's hampering him. It's hindering him. It's hindering him. There's no doubt about it. A lot of it is that now. We've seen other pitchers, you know, Boomer Wells used to do it. He was able to pitch and get the, you know, approval of his teammates eventually. But, and I understand that that's why Luis Rojas is talking to him in the dugout. That's why even the broadcast and Flaherty is complimenting him on fighting to stay in the game and get two extra outs and hold off the bullpen for an inning. Because he needed to show his team something. Because he's out there getting his ass kicked for the third straight night complaining about the first baseman. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, bud?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. It's Friday, so that's a good day.
Yes, it is. Wait a minute. Yeah, it is Friday. Yep, let me double check. Yep, it's Friday.
So, the Yankees are starting to beat me off, you know, piss me off pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't know what crawled up there behind. I don't know what's going on, but it's just not looking good. I mean, they're now tied with Baltimore. I mean, I just hope they can fix their hitting and fix the pitching. But
well,
I honestly think they need to get Vlad Jr. because he wants to go there and. They got to get a bullpen guy.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I don't know if Vlad. No, I don't think Vlad wants to go there. No, he's softened on the idea of never playing for them. And that's a far cry from wanting to be a Yankee. But he would come here and try and win the championship. That's what he would do. But I don't know if training for Vladdy is going to happen. The tax you'd have to pay for doing it inside the division with Toronto. You know, the fact that he's. Okay, he's been hot the last 15 or so games, but ultimately the last 2 years have been extremely underwhelming. You do have him under contract for this year and next year. I believe he's making $19 million this year in arbitration, so you're looking at something like anywhere between $22 and $24, maybe $25 million in arbitration next year. And when they're trying to sign Juan Soto, I just don't know if it fits. But I'm open to it. I said it a couple weeks ago. When they traded Biggio, I said, wow, this team might be just moving on from this core. They're in last place. They're terrible. They're not hitting. And maybe they can get a haul and try and restart this. They went for the Ohtani thing. And sometimes when you swing and miss at a big thing like that and then your team folds, it's like, oh, let's go the other way. Let's break this. We can't get the big-time free agents to come to Toronto anyway. Let's figure out a way to cleanse ourselves of this team that's been an absolute fraud for the last 3 years and try and figure out a way to rebuild and everything. But, you know, as we say, I was listening to the Afternoon Drive show today, and they did something that bothers me. I mean, it just, the conversation of what would George do is like, it drives me absolutely up a wall. Because what would George do? I don't know. George would have traded Aaron Judge 7 years ago, and he'd be killing it right now for the Arizona Diamondbacks, or he'd be killing it right now for the Phillies, or who knows where he'd be. And I'm just like, the idea of what would George do in this moment? He'd fire everybody. Like, it was great. Like, we don't go back. I told you, watch that documentary about the 90s Yankees. The entire Yankee Stadium gave a standing ovation when he was banished. Standing ovation. Oh, this fan, they don't fire anybody. They keep Cashman forever. George would have fired everybody. Yeah, George fired 16 coaches in 17 years. It did not go well. Let's not focus on what George would have done. Let's not ask ourselves that question. Let's ask ourselves what can be done now. And I'm not sure. Considering the new playoff format, I mean, right now, 100% for sure, four teams are selling. That's it. And a lot more are buying. And the freaking Mets just worked their way into trying. I never thought they'd be a buying team. Never. And I'm still not 100% sure, but they're going to get there if they keep playing like this. And they're going to be trying to steal guys away from the New York Yankees. They need bullpen help. I don't be battling for bullpen help with the Mets. No. I don't like it. But the Met vibes are so good right now, Kevin and Kopeg. You know that, right? There
oh
it is.
Oh, my God. Candelito, that's our superstar
right.
Utility player.
Iglesias, oh, my God. They're playing it all over the place. They're playing it after home runs. I just saw a video. I don't know if they were at a wedding or a... Where were they?
City Field event.
City Field event. They're out there partying their asses off. Think of the difference between the vibes of the clubhouse after trying to explain the meeting after Lopez threw his glove into the stands, said he didn't care. He didn't care. The manager didn't like it. He's a terrible teammate. The team stinks. Lindor is talking about how he knows there are teammates who don't work hard. Like, it was just, and where they are now? Oh my God!
It's a roller coaster ride, man. I'm here for it.
Yeah, why not?
It's a lot of fun, though. I mean, I don't know.
Of course, it's a lot of fun. It's amazing when your team. I believe it is. Is it seven in a row? I don't know if it's that many.
Yes, they're 40-40. We're 39-39.
Oh, you're talking about the Astros. You're talking about the Astros.
Yeah, we're playing them tonight. But
yes, you are. Yes.
The best booth in baseball. We're on Apple TV tonight.
Oh, the Apple TV booth. That is the best. Is it Dontrell Willis? No, that's Fox. What is the Apple TV booth. Oof. Those games are tough. And I'll tell you the worst one for sure. And I don't feel bad saying it at all. And normally, I never get hung up on this, but he makes it very difficult. John Smoltz is brutal. He's brutal. And I have to admit, unlike the great Joe Buck, it does kind of feel like Smoltz hates the Yankees. I mean, they cost them championships. I can understand it. But it's a brutal broadcast, the whole thing. It sounds like they don't like each other sometimes. It's just, Saturday games are the worst. I was so glad I was actually at the game on Saturday night so I didn't have to listen to that awful broadcast. And the thing I'll say about, because I know Michael Kay's up in an uproar about the SNY taking out commercials on that station and playing them and calling the booth the best booth in baseball. And Michael Kay defended himself, and I get it. And here's the thing, the main reason, there are several, and we don't have to break down broadcast booths, but the main reason that the Mets broadcast booth is better than the Yankee broadcast booth is by the sheer number of people who do it. Like, last night was, Rucco and Flaherty. Like, it is almost always some sort of combination of Gary, Keith, and Ron. Someone's always there. Like, if it was always Michael, Paul, and Cone, maybe we'd all feel different about it. But it's never that. It's all over the place. There's a million of them. They'll step in and do a game. Joe Girardi steps in and do. Is that the A team? Because he got the Baltimore series. Like I, it's impossible. There's too many. It's always one of those. It's always at least one of those three. That's it's just continuity is what makes it better. Plus, they're just probably just better. But I will give you this, Yes Network. You do a much better pre and post, in my opinion. Sorry, Gary Apple. Nothing against you. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Good morning, Christopher. Tonight is your night.
Tonight is your night, bro. Friday night. Friday night martini. Looking forward to it.
Do we know when Clark Smith comes back? Do we have an idea, number one? Number two.
No.
I think they want George back. No one moped around with George there.
Well,
they
that's
always
true.
Looked up on the box and they weren't walking around moping because they know they'd get their butt shoot out.
That is for
point.
Sure. I would say George would help eliminate the mope. That is sure.
And I used to remember.
He'd also, hire gamblers to dig up dirt and call pitchers fat toads. Okay. But,
Chris, you have to stop taking him out. He's no longer on this earth. Okay, we know that you don't love him.
I'm not taking him out. Because when we praise him, the thing that made the Yankees the only thing that made the Yankees great, or if only George were here, he would solve everything. I'd just like to point out that's probably not the absolute truth.
Yep.
His son says the same thing. I just read the Andy Martino book. His son says the same thing. My father was hated around here. People forget.
More associated as a Yankee fan to winning versus losing, to my opinion of George. So I look at him as a positive. And then,
I look at him as a positive. I love him, but I'm just, he wasn't the be all end all. And he wouldn't, if he were here today, it's not like he would guarantee victories.
What is going to take this team to get motivated? I mean, Grisham to now start hitting some home. What is the problem? Is it coach? Is it my estimation? I don't see anything. That resembles a team here. They're all doing different things. It doesn't seem like there's any cohesion anymore.
Your line's breaking up too, Maury. I'm sorry. Why doesn't it seem like a team? We would just... Three weeks ago, this team was different. Juan Soto changed the approach of all the hitters. This team is different. Verdugo's a dog. Look at how he plays defense. There's an element of speed with Volpe. Volpe's on a 16-game hitting streak. Like, this team is different. They battle. They work pitches. This team is different. Heard that for 2 months. For 2 months. They've struggled for 2 weeks, and I don't see a team here. Okay. All right. I'm not trying to tell you they're playing well. They're playing awful. But, let's just take a second. I don't see a team. You don't see a team here? They're struggling. It's hard to see a team when the pitcher gives up 8 runs in the first 2 innings. What do you expect them to do? Like, what do you want to see? They're all doing their own thing? What are you talking about? Speaking of George and the Yankees, the 78 Yankees didn't do their own thing? I think they all did. Right? 25 cabs leaving the building. I think they all did this their own thing. They're struggling. They're playing like crap. That's it. It won't last forever. They might not. They're not as good as they were. Clearly, let's be fair. They're not as good as they were when they were building the best record in the American League 2 months ago, and they're not as bad as they are today when they're down 6-7 runs. Before the first time through the lineup, it's just not true. There's a middle ground here that eventually they'll find, but. They also have the trade deadline to attack some of the holes we're seeing here. And all the comparisons to 2 years ago, that's the main difference. Benintendi goes down after being traded here. Like, the team was getting injured after the trade deadline. Carpenter, I believe, went down after the trade deadline. There was only so much they could do once the trade deadline happened. They had holes created after the trade deadline. Right now, the holes are here. They need at least one corner infielder, and they need two bullpen arms. That's those aren't, it'd be nice to go get them. Those are must-haves. Cannot function without them. But they have the trade deadline still to do it. So you got to see what this team looks like after the trade deadline. But they're going to have to figure out a way. DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, Carlos Rodon, the rest of this pitching staff are going to have to find a way to revert back to the players they were 3 weeks ago. Well, maybe not LeMahieu and Torres. They've been bad all year. But the pitching staff, for sure. 888-808-1019. Take a quick break. Come back. Take your phone calls till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Back to the street where we began. Feeling as good as lovers can, you know. Yeah, we're feeling so good. Picking up things we shouldn't read. It feels like the end of history, as you know.
4:35 in a place, in a room, where it's 9 in the afternoon, but here it's 4:35 in the morning. How's everybody doing? Great, good, wonderful. Last night was good for you? I don't know how. It wasn't good for the NFL either, but I think that might sneak under the radar. Maybe not here, maybe not for long. But with, obviously, the debate going on last night, I'm not sure. And the nature of the debate and what is going to come from the debate and the speculation of what's going to come from the debate and what a disaster it was. And really just one of those moments where you're like, what am I watching?
I'd vote Roger Goodell, though.
You'd vote Roger Goodell? Well, listen, in all seriousness, maybe that VP run for Rogers wasn't so crazy after all. Maybe RFK Jr.'s got a shot in this thing. But for the NFL, they did get a tough hit yesterday as a jury found that they were guilty of ballooning prices and price gouging for the Sunday ticket. And they're going to have to pay $4.7 billion, with a B, billion damages. $4.7 billion in damages to the residential class and $96 million in damages to commercial class. I mean, that is a lot of money for a Sunday ticket package that I bought this year. That was great for me. Worked out. First time I was able to do it. I can't get a dish, so I got it with the YouTube this year. Worked out great. It was expensive, sure. But I guess bars were complaining, but $4.7 billion in damages.
That's awesome. So you got in under the wire. Now you can get part of the payout.
Right? Can I join this class action
soon
or something?
That's awesome for you. Congrats.
Let's go. I'm in. How can I get a piece of that?
I think I did the free trial a couple of times. I don't know if I qualify for the payout now.
No, I bought the sucker. I was in. I actually got it through a discount through the one of the betting sites, though. So I don't know if that hurts me.
I've done the, and this is, if anyone, I'll just say it now, but you can do the global Game Pass, which is cheaper, and then just pay for a VPN. It comes out cheaper altogether. I don't know.
Yeah, no, sure. Great. You could do that. You could do what he just said. I have no idea. I know, you get the VPN, makes it seem like you're from the United States, right?
No, that you're from another country.
Oh, right.
And then
right,
you pay for the out of US NFL
sure.
Game Pass, which is
sure.
cheaper than
it sounds not good.
It
sounds like you shouldn't be doing it. It sounds like
there's nothing illegal.
Are you sure? Are you positive?
I'm not positive.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Cuff me outside.
Look at you. 888-808-1019. Rough night for Rodon. Rough night for all of us. And we get ready for a new night as the Mets will take on the surging Houston Astros, who have found their way back to 500, and I am still hoping. This has not changed for me. I know the Yankees, the season's falling apart. I understand many of you probably think the Yankees aren't a playoff team anymore, you crazy bums. But tonight I'll root for the Mets because it's hard to watch the game, which I'll be forced to watch as the Mets. It's hard to root for the Astros while I watch them. It's another to just say, okay, whatever they're doing out west, let me just look at the standings every once in a while and hope they've picked up ground because I want them in the playoffs. That's right. Right now, I think the Houston Astros would come into the Yankee Stadium and beat them by 45 runs because that's the way the Yankees are playing. But we'll see what happens come October. I'll take my chances with the Astros. But right now, we're going to find out if this Met team is just the greatest thing to ever. I mean, this offense right now, after those two games with the Yankees, as a Yankee fan, as disappointed and frustrated and disgusted as I was with the New York Yankees, as watching the first innings and not being able to score runs and leaving the bases loaded, as just the whole thing, as ugly as it was with Cole and you knew what he's dealing with and trying to come back, and then Luis Gil and you were hoping he was to have a bounce back start, and now you have all the questions about this rotation and how long it's going to take before Cole gets going, or is Luis Gil at his innings limit already? Is he fatigued? Is it an issue? Blah, blah, blah. After all that, if you take a step away from it, you got to be honest with yourselves. Not only do the Yankees suck, and clearly they do, as they got pounded by the Blue Jays last night as well, but it felt like they ran into a buzzsaw with those New York Mets. I mean, that lineup right now, and it's not just the Yankees. This Met team has pounded every single good starting pitcher thrown at them over the last 2 weeks. Whether it's Imanaga in Chicago, whether it's Dylan Deese in San Diego, whether it's John Gray in Texas, who I think got lit up by Baltimore last night, so maybe he's just going through a funk a little bit, but I think he had a 2.2 ERA heading into the game against the Mets. Like, they have pounded everyone. Everyone. And right now, these games are important because you're still without Diaz for another 8 games. It's a good start to win the first two of a 10-game suspension. And the bullpen clearly in disarray as you're waiting. I don't think they announced anything yet with Drew Smith. But as you're waiting for bad news, he's not having a great year anyway. I don't think anyone really trusts him. But, I mean, how many bullpen guys can you lose? You lost Reed Foley recently. Now you're probably going to lose Drew Smith. You got Diaz, in the middle of a 10-game suspension. And so, really, the bullpen is in disarray right now. The rotation typically does not go deep into games and really didn't even, Peterson didn't go deep into the game against the Yankees. And, Manaea and, maybe Severino can give you some length. But overall, they've got a bullpen falling apart and a starting rotation that, even at its best, doesn't go deep. So you know how you solve that problem? You score a ton of runs. And that's why the Mets have had the winning streak that they've had. That's why the Mets are playing the way they've played. Because this offense is just out-hitting any flaws they have with the pitching. And whether it's Vientos, who's really made a huge difference in the middle of that lineup, hitting big home runs, whether it's obviously Alvarez and the record with the team has is just freaking crazy and how important he's been. JD Martinez really got this whole thing started with the walk-off home run against Miami. That's really the first game that, they were winning before that a little bit, but they were about to come off that London series, take that second game of the London series with that crazy double play from Torrens at home plate. And they were about to lose 2 out of 3 to the lowly Miami Marlins, one of two teams in the National League who are out of it. The worst team in the National League, arguably the worst team in baseball, right there with the White Sox. And they were about to, off the momentum of that game in Philadelphia, come back home and lose 2 out of 3 to Miami. And he has that enormous home run. And from that moment on to me, that's the moment that really sent this team off. So, I mean, you could look at a bunch of different people, whether it's Lindor at the top of the lineup, whether it's Nimmo and his power surge and getting it going, whether it's obviously, like I just said, JD Martinez, that home run, and then his subsequent hot streak, whether it's Vientos becoming a real hitter, whether it's, I mean, Bader at the bottom of the lineup, Taylor working his way back into it after struggling for a while after a good start to the season. Like, up and down the lineup, the amount of home runs they got from the bottom of the lineup against the New York Yankees. I mean, so tonight they got Blanco, who's pitching very well for Houston, who's decimated by injury in the rotation. But He's been really good. He's 8-2 against Quintana, who has been up and down, coming off a pretty good one. And you're just hoping the Mets, it doesn't matter who's pitching. It doesn't matter the state of the bullpen. They're going to pound you. And this is a good test against Blanco, but they've passed like 4 or 5 tests already. They've got their Regents diploma. 888-808-1019. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Rich?
All right. It's getting serious with the Yankees.
Listen, there's no doubt. It's getting ugly now. It's 4 straight series, and last night was another doozy.
Yeah, and, you know, Rodon, you just don't have 3 performances like that. You just don't. There's got to be a way of bouncing back. But, the Mets are making story, obviously, and so is quietly Houston being .500. Chris, yeah. Where'd that come from? This team was, I think, had a worse record. I think they might have been 13 under at one point.
I don't know if it was that bad, but yeah, it was close. They were definitely like at least 10 under.
Yeah, and that happened, Tucker, but their pedigree has always been really, really good.
Yeah.
I still don't think, you know, that they have enough. They've lost too much pitching. But
yeah.
With the Mets, you pointed with the Mets, it's true. Right now they're a juggernaut, and their offense is just over. You know, you're just overlooking the other flaws because I don't think that can continue.
No, it won't.
Maybe you get Senga back, which I think he will be coming back eventually. Quintana has always been, Quintana's a 4 to me. I mean, he had a good start last time. But when you're on this kind of roll, all the other flaws are just hidden. Sure. Because the team is just belting out hits left and right. So. But with your team, I don't know when they said, you know, they're going to make moves, obviously. I think he has to.
Of course.
But they have, you know, they have just one more. It's more than one move. You know, it's 2 or 3 guys.
Yeah, but
go ahead.
But it's the 1 or 2 moves or 2 or 3 guys. I think they need 2 bullpen guys and a corner infielder. And then hopefully, and thank you for the call, Richie, because I'm up against the break real quick. And then hopefully you get Stanton back. Hopefully you get Dominguez back. Hopefully you get John Birdie back. And, you know, those help. You know, Birdie's a good little player. We forget about it. He didn't do much as a Yankee and was hurt. He was excellent with the Marlins last year. Ask a Met fan who watched a lot of Mets Marlins what they think of John Birdie. They could use him to come back too. And hopefully Dominguez comes back and from this oblique injury. Like I'm not saying just wait for them. You have to go be aggressive and make trades. But those guys are coming back as well. You need 2 bullpen arms and a corner infielder. Must. I would take more than that, but that's the must. The must-haves are 2 bullpen arms and a corner infielder. Have to have it. 447, McMonagle here with you, 888-808-1019. We'll come back and rip through as many as we can get to before 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
Talk New York sports with us, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, stream the NFL. And rudely interrupted about PIN numbers and then making me think that I had money coming to me. Obviously, I don't, nor did I think I did. But the class action suit again, which is the NFL is going to have to pay $4.7 billion, was from their time on the dish. Why am I drawing a blank here at 4 o'clock in the morning. When it was on from 2011 through 2022 on DirecTV. And the lawsuit also talked about how because they limited it to just DirecTV, it eliminated competition. And the NFL is going to have to pay, each team is going to average a loss of $449 million over this. And it's the greed of the NFL. Like, let's just be honest. We understand how they build the brand, and, you know, he joked before about Goodell running for president. He's done an amazing job building the brand, making money, but there is a time where you're worried about this, you know, this oversaturation and constantly trying to get every last buck like this, the Christmas thing is going to bother me. I'll be totally honest with you. Having this game on Netflix and selling Christmas is going to bother me. Because we've talked about it, and I know me and Marash see eye to eye on this one. He's 100% correct. It is anti-family. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It sucks. It sucks the idea that I got to tell my wife I'm going to watch a game on Christmas Day. It's the worst. And all these games and everything, it's just, and the Sunday ticket now, it's about, I think it was like $400. So I'm hoping that it's just like this helps them lower the price of the Sunday ticket because the product, I can't argue with the product. The product is fantastic. But they're going to appeal it. I don't know how it's going to affect it moving forward, but that just seems like an enormous number, $4.7 billion. Let's get a couple calls in before we get to the top and the end of the show. Mitchell and Fort Lee, what's up, Mitch?
Hey, Big Mac, how you doing, big guy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mitch?
I'm doing okay. Listen, last week at the games, sorry you couldn't make it, but last week in the games it was hot, Big Mac, but it was just a disaster. And you know, I listened to you all morning for the last 2 hours. I don't understand the Yankees. They have a promise shortstop. I mean, not shortstop, second base. Bring up Peraza, let him try to play there. Play LeMayu every day. And you know what? The worst part about the Yankees right now is, I don't say the Yankees, you have a catcher that's really good, is Wills. He doesn't play him every day. They're stealing every day over Trevino. Every day, the guy gives up 14 or 15 stolen bases.
That's a big hyperbole. Well, here's the thing. One, you say they have a problem at second base, you mean Gleyber Torres, but you want to play DJ LeMayu every day. DJ LeMayu has a problem. Peraza is hitting, I believe, under 200 over the last 2 months. He's been terrible in AAA. Terrible. I mean, you want to just bring him up to see? That's the thing. Like, who do you trust to have a better offensive rest of the year? Peraza, who's shown you nothing at the major league level, who's hitting under 200 in AAA, or Gleyber Torres, who without question is struggling and looks terrible and looks lost and is moping and his tail between his legs and seems sad and all that. Not running out of the box, the whole bit, but had an 800 OPS in the major leagues last year and hit 25 home runs. Who's more likely to have a productive rest of the year? That's why you can't just say, oh, screw it, I'll play Peraza. That's not the answer. If they had a legitimate prospect who was hitting at the moment, I'd give it some thought. And if Peraza was hitting 300, okay. He's terrible, but at the same time, play LeMahieu every day. Why play LeMahieu every day? He's been just as bad as Gleyber. This is the team. They have a month until the team can be adjusted. They got it. It has to get better from this point on. But the thing that concerns me today, the thing that we saw today, because when you're down 8 runs, it's hard to muster up any offense, and they've been getting bludgeoned. The starting rotation is just, after having an incredible start to the year, is falling apart. And even most of that, I'm willing to deal with and figure it's going to turn around. The real problem is Carlos Rodon. Like, this is a problem now. I would say it's the Gleyber Torres is a glaring problem. The offense 4-9, glaring problem. I mean, besides Stanton, you're three weeks away from absolutely pounding teams. All right, and don't tell me, oh, that was the Royals. Yeah, it was the Royals with better pitching than what the Mets threw. Better pitching. Guys having excellent seasons. And the Yankees toyed with them. That was 2.5 weeks ago. I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm saying these are the same guys. They need to get it going other than Stanton. For me, the main problem that has now shown itself that scares the hell out of me is Carlos Rodon. All right, that's it for me. Everybody have a great Friday. Have a great weekend. I'll actually catch you early Sunday morning. So I'll see you at 3 a.m. Sunday morning. We'll have a little Sunday morning fun. Until then, enjoy your weekend. The warm-up show is next. And I'm sure everyone will yell about the Yankees all day. It should be fun. Have a great day. Rami, thank you very much. Thank you for calling and listening. I'll catch you later. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.